Hi everyone, Aid here. While Married at First Sight is on a break, we wanted you to have a bonus episode from our Patreon. In this episode, we talk about the Season 5 Chicago Decision Day. We hope this trip down memory lane is fun for you. For more of our bonus episodes, check out our Patreon, and we'll be back with new episodes in July. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aid, and this is Alter Call on Patreon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our bonus episode where we are going to recap season 5, which was based in Chicago. We are recapping the decision day and the reunion. Today's your lucky day, guys. Hi, Aid.
Hi, Tane. Today really does feel like my lucky day, too.
Well, I'm sure people have heard us talk about this a lot, but remind the people your relationship with season 5 Chicago.
I watched half of it and then I stopped. And it wasn't anything like, oh, the people were terrible, or, oh, like, I just didn't want to watch it. I came to the conclusion, you know, a lot of people say that they're like rewatching a season of Maths like 2 years after it aired or something. And I don't know how people do it. Like, I can't do it. If I know what the outcome is going to be, I don't enjoy it as much.
I think the fun now is going to be just comparing what we had and what we have now, how things used to be. But let me ask, what was your thoughts on rewatching this?
They've changed a little of the terminology, and it is so bizarre to me that the couples never meet each other. It's just such a difference from how things are now.
It is such a difference. I still stand by the fact that I think they shouldn't meet each other. But the one thing watching this, Aid, was we might complain about MASH right now, but I'll take what we have now because it was kind of like a chore to watch. Everything dragged. I can't believe on Decision Day we weren't going straight into we were watching things drag. And then did you catch the unending background music? And it was always ominous. It was like, dun, dun, then cymbals. And I was like, wow, you know.
But it was funny because when I saw the decision day was an hour and a half, I was like, wow, you know, they must really drag out decision day because now we do 5 couples in 2 hours and they want to do 3 couples in an hour and a half. And then I realized that they combine like 3 episodes into 1 hour and a half.
They did. Because the decision itself was like 10 minutes combined.
Honestly, makes more sense. I. But then what they did with the hour and a half they were allotted, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so repetitive.
It is. They also used to go to decision day together.
Man, oh, I love that.
I have a question for you, Aid. So watching this made me think that, you know, I wouldn't be mad at an expert shakeup, but then if we had to lose one expert from who we have right now, who would it be for you?
Dr. Pepper.
Because she seems so checked out and over these people?
Correct. I don't actively dislike her in any way. If anything, the person who, to me, talks the most nonsense is Pastor Cal. Although sometimes he's tied with Dr. Viviana. But at least they come in with enthusiasm, whereas I really feel like Dr. Pepper is like, you fools. And then every now and then she kind of checks in again and you're like, oh, yeah, that's Dr. Pepper. And then she checks back out.
You're absolutely right. I couldn't decide, even though, again, I tell you guys all the time that every season that Dr. Pepper is here, I'm surprised. I keep waiting for an announcement that she's leaving, but I guess this is her retirement plan. She's not going anywhere. But I couldn't decide, so then I just thought it would be good to just add one more expert.
And have 4 experts?
Yes, 4 experts. Maybe we'll have them more around. Like, you can, like, I think they should go back to how it was where the spiritual only handled the spiritual, the sex therapist only handled the sex therapist, and then, you know, the general or whatever. I think it would be good. And just for fun, let's make it a Black woman. Let's see what the mix does.
Honestly, if they added a Black female expert next season, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. So before we get into what happened on Decision Day in Chicago 5 years ago, or however long it was, just a heads up for you, our wonderful patrons. We took your suggestions. We are definitely going to be doing episodes on Sister Wives and Love is Blind in February. So look out for those throughout the month of February. I'm very excited by Love is Blind coming back. But the other part of me is like, oh, they'll never strike like the magic twice.
I am of the latter thought. I'm not excited because, like you said, it was just the novelty of it never been done before. And I think the expectation is so high. And then we're like 2 years after. I just don't know if we won't. But surprise, guys, I am excited about the Sister Wives. You know, I was checked out. I wasn't about that life. But nothing gives me more joy than seeing people I hate in pain. And things turned around, you know, and things are happening to Cody that are not quite nice. And I'm enjoying every single part of it. And I can't wait to break it down and say bad things about him. I don't care. So we will be back after this three-part, everyone separate special thing. I don't think I'm really pleased about that, but I get it. They might not even be speaking in real life, so. But yeah, I'm in, guys. I am in. Can't wait.
So today, I looked up the ratings. Because I was just like, what's going on with Sister Wives and ratings? I know they're going to get another season because I heard that they're filming. But they actually beat 90 Day Fiancé on Sunday, which to me is shocking. Most of the time, 90 Day is like the number one reality show on cable. Sometimes the number one show on cable on Sunday nights. There's a lot of competition for Sunday TV. It takes me till like Tuesday to watch everything from Sunday. So the fact that they managed to break through and break the juggernaut that is 90 Day Fiancé, I'm like, Sister Wives, people are watching again. They almost got canceled a couple years ago. I think they had to take a pay cut, is what I've heard. So they're on an upward trajectory. They better thank Christine, because I don't think they would be on an upward trajectory if she hadn't said, peace, bitches.
But also 90 Day is kind of in a stalemate now. I think we had a conversation about this where it's like, what are they now, you know, going, if they're actively going after people who are not quite okay. And now it's just like, you know, what are you doing, guys? Like, it's not exactly so fun. So
it's so uneven. Like, there are some people who I'm just like, oh, I really want to know what happens with them. Then there are others that I'm like, you're really boring and I don't care. And then there are others that I'm like, you're just here to shame yourself, right? That would be Usman and Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Why are we making fun of our countryman's accent?
I'm not making fun of him. I'm saying exactly how he says it. I like how he says it. I think for me, it's the balance. And that goes for MAFS also. We've also always said it. We get it. You're still a reality show. You got to have your shit shows on there. But let there be balance. At the end of the day, remember why we started watching the show and get some people who actually like each other. So with 90 Day Fiancé, it's just, how do I put it? Like, where it gets so uncomfortable is like, you're reaching so much and we can tell. Because now this season we have, what's the name of the guy who's with Ximena?
There's the two. There's Gino and then Mike.
Yes. So
see,
there's,
I can't,
Gino.
Even tell. That's much
exactly.
Fiance.
There's Gino and then there's Mike, who obviously you can tell like there's just, you know, something going on there. And then you have the other guy who's with the lady who's a little person. And then and it's kind of like the American Idol when they had, you know, they bring the obviously bad singers for entertainment. That's the equivalent of what this is, because now we're just going all the way out. Like, I'm watching Dave and Annie, and it's just so much fun to watch. Like, it's like, yeah, we get it, but there's a balance where they actually did like each other. Like, at the core of it all, we could tell.
I am so enjoying this David and Annie bring the cousin and the brother to America story. Like,
yeah.
It's an interesting story. I enjoy hearing from the kids, like their perspective. I can't wait for them to actually get to America to see how that goes. Like,
exactly.
The show has really gone far from what it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, Lauren and Alexi, they were semi-normal.
I haven't been watching their show.
No, but I mean, like, when they were on 90 Day Fiancé, there wasn't, like, anything so outrageous. There were two attractive people. There wasn't this whole thing about them. But it's, like, balance. Just have people who actually like each other. There's something to be said about that. That's why, God, guys, I just keep blanking. The guys from Mexico were a hit.
Armando and Kenny. Everybody loves them.
Exactly, because it's balanced. They like each other. They overcame adversity. It's okay. But when you start reaching to the very back shelf to find something and create something, it's we're not that dumb. We watch reality show, but we're still smart. So
anyway, okay, so you guys got your 90 Day Fiancé bonus right here. And now we are gonna get into our Math Chicago bonus. So Decision Day, first off, my first observation is that it wasn't called Decision Day back then. Like, it was called Final Decision Day, and there's a lot about Final Decision and what are we going to do on Final Decision. So I thought that was interesting. They show us some flashbacks. We see the legend. I call the fight legendary because Tane actually included it in her top five fights.
What? You a bitch.
When she calls Nate a bitch.
Oh. Honestly, it's not even the fact that she called him a bitch. He was saying it as, oh, you hurt me when you did this. In what world do you think it's okay to call me a bitch? And she said, because you were acting, it's the double down for me. She's like, because you were acting like a bitch. And the emphasis of it all. And he was stunned. Like, what? And they kept playing it over and over and over. So
Tane has mentioned to me once before that Anthony and Ashley had a lease together. And I was just wondering, like, how much are they going to mention it on this Decision Day episode? Because I'm like, how are you going to have us watch this thing, making us think that they might say no when we know they have signed legal paperwork to be financially intertwined? So I was waiting to see that. So we start with everybody has gone to their final couples retreat by themselves. Blew my mind. But the locations are real sketch. Cody and Danielle are in Milwaukee. I'm like, do people actually go to Milwaukee for vacation?
Listen, they took them to Poconos in season 2 and 1. So that was their honeymoon. Cold snow.
Cody asked Danielle, like, what are you going to say on Decision Day? And they're sitting down together and she says they're committed to working through things. And she trusts them to make the right decision for both of us. And she says she doesn't know what she's going to say on Decision Day. And she says in an interview that they need romance and that's their biggest hurdle. And then she asks him how he feels. Cody says he's not where he'd want to be. He doesn't know what could happen. He doesn't think she's where she wants to be. And they do this thing. I'm telling you guys, they say divorce is an option, but the camera is not on his face when he says that. We switch over to Nate and Sheila. They didn't pick up with them, I think, on their retreat because they were too busy rehashing this fight from 10 days ago. And they do timelines because, like, 10 days ago, we have the fight. 7 days ago, how many times do I have to apologize to you? And she said she doesn't want to be with someone like him. And I was like, oh, Lord. And then 5 days ago, Sheila says they're moving forward. And God didn't bring us this far to leave now. And I was like, oh, Jesus, literally.
Like, you've mentioned the fights. The fact that you just mentioned that fight, and I keep thinking, I'm having flashbacks. They had a lot of fights, a lot of big, like, blowout fights. And there's a scene where she mentioned that this is the healthiest relationship that she has ever been in. And that was just sad because she spent most of the marriage crying a lot. And I could be reaching here, but it made me sad because now the show has shown that there is a pattern of Black women just enduring their unhappiness under the guise of God and I'm committed. And I'm talking Sheila, I'm talking Paige, I'm talking Shawnese. And, you know, it just reminded me of that. Like, how do you just say, I'm here for this, I'm committed, this is the healthiest relationship, or all she did all throughout. And remember that Shawnese, I mean, I understand that because Sheila has been through an abusive relationship, I think, before Nate. And also, he's younger. He was 25. Why?
25. And I'm glad you mentioned 26, it because I just remember at their honeymoon, they had like this big fight where she was like crying and like, I don't know if I want to be with someone like you. But you're right. She says it's the healthiest and happiest they've ever been, and that it's only little things. And from us looking on the outside, it's like, those don't look little.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Sheila had her issues. Because there was a fight there where she got mad about him winning or he's too competitive. Something. Like, she had her walls up, and understandably, but, you know, in general, it was just not... It's not fun to watch. And being fair, Cody was younger than Danielle by 4 years, but, you know, anomaly, but yeah.
Next, we get to Ashley and Anthony. They're at a cabin somewhere. I didn't catch where. And Ashley says it was nice to go away. And Anthony is driving back. And he makes a joke about how he'll divorce her if her sister moves in. And I somewhat recalled that, like, living situations was their big, big fight all season.
Yeah, she was too close to her sister and wanted to do it. She wanted to move to the same apartment building as her sister.
She says that he likes to joke and usually doesn't bother her. And then she starts, you know, I don't want to blame her, but she's like, this is a silly conversation. She doesn't see it as funny. The scenarios are unlikely to happen, so why joke about them? As if, no, I would not move my sister in, so why are you making a joke about me moving my sister in when living situation and where my sister lives and where we live is already an argument, so why are you bringing this up? And I thought she was kind of right about that. Like, don't joke about serious things when you know you're serious. they talk about what could ruin this, and Anthony says they have a different timeline for kids. It's very good to watch this show with, like, my Tane references, like, in my head, because Tane has always said that Ashley was baby crazy. And I actually thought that Anthony was very restrained in saying we have a different timeline for kids.
Yeah. You remember the person she dated before this, she broke up with because they didn't want kids or they weren't on her timeline. So I don't think it mattered who was at the end of the altar. Just as long as he had a functioning penis and could give her babies, that's how much she mentioned it during the season.
Ashley sits, see, so this is the friends and family episode that we usually have, but it's all here on decision day. So Ashley sits down and talks to her mom and talks about how they make decisions differently. He needs, like, time to think, and she's just like, okay, decision done, let's go. And this is where they mentioned that they signed a lease. And I was like, why are you wasting our time? They've already made their decision. They don't need decision day.
Hey, so did Clara and Ryan. Look how that ended up. So,
yeah, that's true. Her mom says that this will be a great story to tell their kids someday of how they met. And Ashley tells us that she knows what her final decision is, but she doesn't know what his is.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, you know, mentioning the whole kids thing, it's a different vibe when you're watching, knowing how it all ends. Because knowing that they have two beautiful daughters right now, like the kids that she always wanted, knowing who's together, who's not, it's just, it's a little surreal. Like, this, these kids that were just a speckle in the eye at this point.
Yeah. And I will say, from my limited viewing, I disagree with you about Ashley would have taken anybody at the end of the aisle.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I'm exaggerating. I just meant she wanted to be a mom so bad. Like, she just lucked out that whoever ended up happened to be Anthony, who's a decent guy. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
So Anthony has his friends and family phone call with his dad. His dad asks how they're getting along. And he says, yeah, we have arguments here and there, that they've toned down the kid conversation. I always like it when friends and family are real, because his dad does ask how she handles his rough edges.
Oh.
And they talk about their different decision-making styles. I'm like, that's just so healthy. Mm-hmm. Both of you can identify who you are and how you like to do things. And not how it's incompatible, but how it's like a difference.
Yeah, that is one difference between then and now. I mean, I assume we're going to be doing a lot of that as during the course of it. The caliber of men back then identified that there was differences, and then, yes, can I deal with this difference and can we move past that? The caliber of men right now, oh man, your decision style is now, I don't want you. Nope, it's not what I saw in the movies. Nope, it's not what I want to do. It's ridiculous. Like, they saw their differences. They mentioned that they were honest about it. But it's like, but where do we compliment each other? Like, let's try.
Yeah. And his dad asks if she's impatient. And he, like, takes time to think about it. And she says that she has patience with me, but it runs out. And that is what you mean by these high quality caliber men who know themselves. Danielle sits down with her friend Angie, and she says it's not like a fairy tale, but it's not like it's supposed to be. It's a work in progress. It's gone by quickly. And she said there hasn't been a change from friendship to romance. And once again, when you know how it turns out, you're like, and it ain't never gonna be either. but I also think after 8 weeks, you guys still aren't past the friend zone. This doesn't look good.
I mean, it's 3 days before decision day, and you're hoping to get to the physical part really quickly? Really, really quickly? That ship has sailed, Danielle.
And her friend tries to tell her. Angie's like, well, you're not really feeling the spark. And Angie said she's concerned that she's giving all this effort to make it work, and maybe it won't work out. And she's like, you don't want to kiss or hold hands after 8 weeks?
I mean, and do you blame her? Nothing about Cody inspires, at least for me. Like, I just, God forgive me, but I'm just like, did they pluck this guy at a college fair? Like, he just reeks of, I just graduated college energy. Like, I don't even think he's ready for life. Like, nothing.
As much as he looks like that, I feel like he did give good effort. I will say, I have a feeling, especially by the time we get to the end of the reunion, this cast was really good for this show. Yes. For this experiment is a better way to put it. I don't know about the show, but for the experiment, the six of them are probably the best cast you're going to get.
Yes. But you know how they say you can't out-train a dirty diet? You can't outdo no natural chemistry, no matter how nice you are, no matter how great you are. If I look at you and I don't get panty flutters, like, there's just nothing you can do about it. Unless you're Jamie and Doug. So.
Cody goes to talk to his friend, Zach. He tells him he hasn't had sex and his friend chokes on his drink. And I don't think he was being exaggerating or anything. I really think he was like, wait a second. And the friend is like, but it would be helpful to experience that before you make a decision. And Cody says they've talked about it. And things are a lot better than the last time they met at the golf course. So I guess they met at the golf course and he was like, this marriage is going horribly. And Cody says he hopes that they both say yes. But it's hard to get past the lack of sex. Something has to change or they won't work out.
I don't think anyone talked about not having sex as much as Cody in all of Mav's history. I think they poked fun at him for that. But it was just a running soundtrack. The entire season.
But I also feel like the sex was not just the sex. It was like all of the physical contact.
Yeah. So Dr. Pepper, just to give more context, when they first met, there was all these chemistry. Like, for real, I can't, because it was a flashback that I just had. I can't remember where it went south or what my deduction of it was, but when they met, she thought he was attractive and all that good stuff. I can't remember if something particularly happened, but Dr. Pepper said Danielle wanted a manly guy. And I'm like, I don't think Danielle ever came from that angle. I think it was more like she did think he was attractive, but she was there was just no physical or sexual attraction for her, but she just wanted to try. But Dr. Pepper is saying like she wanted a manly guy. I started thinking something happened. I don't think so. But I think Dr. Pepper is the one throwing shade at Cody just seeming boyish, I guess. Because honestly, that is the energy. You know how they have, you know, big dick energy? Like Cody just gives like
12 big year old energy.
Yes. Big youngin energy. So yeah.
We'll be right back.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with EarnIn.
EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from EarnIn to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back.
So next we have Sheila talking to her friend whose name I did not catch. And you see Tyreek in the background when she's about to FaceTime her friend.
Yes, I have that note too.
Tyreek is Nate's brother who, this is where I'm like, these experts must be joking. I don't think it's a good idea to match someone who basically has a dependent.
Again, memory might be fuzzy. I don't think that was the case. Something happened that he had to come live with them. But memory might be fuzzy. I don't think he was living with him
before. He was. That was part of the whole intro, is that whoever he was matched with was going to have to deal with Tyreek.
Got it.
And you know, we see later, they had a great time together. I don't think Tyreek was a problem in their relationship. Mm-mm. But that's what I mean by this is the best cast ever. I'm not going to lie. If it was me, that would be a problem. Like, I'm trying to get to know you and we have to, like, take care of your brother? And this is not, like, normal dating. This is married at first sight.
Yeah.
So she sits down with her friend and they talk about D-Day. And she says that they've had drama and they've gotten into petty fights and said nasty things. And Sheila says that their biggest struggle is fighting fair. And her friend asks if she has doubts. And she says the last argument because it was ugly and they said things. And Sheila says she's in a season of life where she won't be disrespected. That love alone is not enough. She says in a couple days they might be divorced. Her friend says, it's new, you're still learning each other. And the friend says, I'm 5 years in and I'm still learning to figure stuff out. But Sheila says, looking back, they're much stronger. They've been through stuff. And if they can make it through these 8 weeks, they're in good shape for regular life. Nate calls his dad. He says his dad hasn't been married, but he's got wisdom. The process has done wonders. He would have never met someone like Sheila, and it's been amazing. I really thought about that statement because I actually think in maths, I don't think you should think I would have never met this person. Mm. Like, that says to me that you're in such different ages, eras of life, social circles. If anything, when you're matched on maths, I feel like your thought should be like, I wonder how I haven't met this person before. If you've been dating in the city that you live in.
I mean, yeah, but that could be said for, honestly, everyone who gets married to someone they'd never met before, didn't grow up with. Because it just happens. Even for people who roll with the same circles, there are people I've dated that I'm just like, how have I never met you? Because we have mutual friends, but we just never met. So I think the sentiment is more fate I think they're trying to say it's fate, but not... I know what I'm trying to say, but I'm not being very clear on what I'm trying to say.
I may be reading too much into what he said, but I think in my mind I took it to mean, like, she was 5 years older. She's much more successful than him. That's why he never would have met her in his life. Not because fate hadn't intervened, but because they're in such different parts of life.
I mean, that's a possibility. It's a possibility. We're probably overthinking it, like you said. But I also think there's an other side of it where it's more like, wow, if not for this show, I don't know that I would have met this person because I am forced to actually be with you. It could be a situation where maybe you saw the person and you didn't give them a chance because you'd have come up with something. But with this, you have no choice but to actually sit and make it work in a way.
Yeah. I cannot really hear his dad in this conversation. The part that I did catch is his dad saying, that's why I never got married, so I'd never need to get divorced. And I was like, Nate, I don't think you should be talking to this person right now.
Yeah, his dad was like a... Because I know his dad had like a moment during the wedding with Sheila's dad, and it was like playful. They were playfully ribbing each other, but at some point you're like, are they still joking or are we serious? We're not sure. But yeah.
Oh, I vaguely recall that now, but I can't remember what they were talking about.
Yeah. Something about taking care of my son. It was like, no, you take care of my daughter. Something like that. I don't know. Something like that.
Wow.
The one thing I will say about Sheila and Nate, their sexual chemistry was very palpable. Like, every time they kiss, they don't know how to kiss like a peck. It's like all lips, all tongue. Everything just like...
So next we go on to Danielle and Cody exchanging gifts. Danielle gives Cody a decanter and glasses, and the glasses say yours, mine, and the decanter says ours. He got her a necklace. Nice gifts. And they flash back to their wedding day where apparently they also exchange gifts. So they do a lot of flashing back. They got to go to St. Thomas for their honeymoon.
They sure did. They sure did. You think about the old days. But question, when they were exchanging gifts, did you notice in the kitchen that there were these empty wine bottles, like loads of them in the background?
I did not.
There were so many empty wine bottles, and I'm like, why are we collecting these?
Recycling day was delayed. There's just a lot of repetition from what we heard before about how they haven't had sex. They have a conversation with Dr. Pepper, where Dr. Pepper says that thing about she doesn't think he's manly. Cody says he feels like he has to pull back, and Dr. Pepper tells him he has to work against that. I guess that was like a major issue in their relationship. So, yeah. Next is Ashley and Anthony. For some reason, I was like, wait, is this decision day? And then I know we're still in the lead up. So they have presents too. She got him their vows framed and like scrapbooked. It's very nice. Their retrospective, honestly, is just so much better than Danielle and Cody's. It's all about the kid timeline and the L word and who's going to say it first. And it was cute. We see Ashley and Anthony the night before decision day. And Anthony's like, I have lingering thoughts in the back of my mind. And then finally we get to everybody talking about how nervous they are for decision day. And then finally it's decision day. Yay.
Did you see, well, what I thought was a gift, like in the flashback, was Sheila changing her last name?
I probably blocked that out because I think it's so weird when people do it in the 8 weeks.
I just wanted to know how she got it done that quickly.
Maybe she just started the process.
It was her driver's license.
Oh my goodness, never mind.
Was her driver's license, and I was like, wow, that is a huge.
Did you change your name during COVID though?
Kind of after 20, it was just last year.
Because I'm just saying, everything administrative seems to take 10 times longer now, so I'm like, maybe in the pre-COVID days you could change your name quickly.
I don't think so, because a lot of people I know who didn't change their name, they're like, it just takes too long and it's just too stressful. So I don't know. I guess we're back at the same thing. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. So they drag out decision day. Ashley and Anthony are first. Rachel, who's the expert who we really, I mean, she's been on a little bit, but she's not on anymore. So I think she didn't quite register to me. She asked them, what's the best part? Ashley says, getting to know each other, feeling an instant connection. She asks Anthony what his biggest challenge is. And he says, she looks at things half empty. And Pastor Cal asks if they're compatible. And I think they say they are. I actually don't even remember the answer to the question. Ashley says that her biggest goal is having kids. So that's the goal that she's working towards right now. Rachel asks if they agree on a timeline. And Anthony's like, I'm not doing it this year. That's insane.
And that's part of what I like about Anthony. Like, he's like a good natured person. He'll laugh, he'll joke. But when push comes to shove, he's putting his foot down.
And that is the correct answer. I met you 8 weeks ago. We are not having a baby this year. Pastor Cal says to Ashley, think long and hard and tell him your answer. And she looks at Anthony and she says, I want to stay married. And Pastor Cal repeats his instructions to Anthony. And Anthony says, I love you and I want to stay married. And Rachel and Pastor Cal are losing it. They are so happy.
Pat on the back. But a difference here is like this, back then there was no fanfare. No one was getting eyeshadows in the creases, orange eyeshadow, and getting all dressed up, because Ashley barely even had any makeup on. I know she definitely had no lipstick on. And I was like, and they were all dressed like smartly is the best I could call it. Like in their Easter best, it wasn't even like anything fancy.
Gowns or is anybody wearing a ball gown?
Not really, but you can tell, like, they dress up, like, think Karen or think Merla. Like I said, she got her face beat and everything. Like, even Michaela, everyone just gets all dressed up. But here, it's just like, okay, oh, we're going to Brent. Okay, I'll just.
I can't tell which one I prefer. Like, come as a normal person or come all dressed up. I guess it depends on what the person's wearing and whether or not I like it.
Oh, the answer is always dressed up for me. I just like my eyes to feast on nice.
Okay. Next up is Cody and Danielle. Dr. Pepper once again mentions that sexual and romantic relationship is necessary, and like they don't got it. Cody says they're not growing physically, and Danielle says it's a problem for her too. She doesn't have falling in love feelings. She didn't expect to in 8 weeks, but she has strong feelings and cares about him. I was like, that doesn't sound good. Once again, ladies first. So we get some drama music. She gets the question and she says she's thought about it and they aren't in a perfect place, but she'd like to stay married. Cody looks so happy and he says he wants to stay married too. And then they hug and I feel it's awkward.
I remember being so surprised that they stayed together. Like, it was like, what are you guys fighting for? Like, I don't even understand what it is, but yeah.
So next up is Sheila and Nate. Sheila says she's learned about herself, that her words have repercussion. She says they've had a lot of trauma. Nate once again says that boundaries were crossed. Sheila, ladies first. So Sheila says, I want to be your wife until the day I die. And Nate says yes too. And Dr. Pepper thinks they'll have a lifetime marriage.
Oh, Nate had a cooler way of saying. He's saying, you ain't going nowhere, baby, or something like that. I remember I laughed or whatever it was that he said, but I want to be your wife until the day I die.
Famous last words. I found Nate so annoying when I watched it the first time. And in watching this, I found him annoying again.
Yes, he's a showboater. Some things that were on there was like, it's interesting that the best and worst part has always been there. I don't think that would be something I would even remember. Like where they always ask him, what has been the best part of your journey so far? What is the worst part there? Or what are some of your challenges? And then also, did you notice that they kept rotating the experts. They never had all three of them with them, which I thought, why?
I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, because the first time it was Dr. Rachel and Pastor Callan, I was like, where's Dr. Pepper? Is she absent? And then she was there the next one, and I was like, wow. So they were just rotating back and forth. And it's also interesting that they thought Anthony and Ashley were surface. They said that more than once.
Oh, okay. But not on here. But they said it during the season?
No, they said it on here on this decision day. Because Pastor Cal said it when they were visiting one of the flashbacks. Like, it's interesting that, yeah, they like each other, but they need to go deeper and they need to be surface. And then in this final decision, they said something about blah, 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 them being surface. Dr. Rachel said that.
Hmm.
So I was like, well, in your face. Together with two kids.
So, but remember, you can see the future and she can't.
Because I'm liking your face.
So we see everybody back at apartments and houses in bed. Sheila said Sheila's the best according to Nate, and they love each other. Anthony references being excited about getting the family started. The experts are so excited and pleased with themselves that they got perfect score, 3 S's on decision day. I actually prefer meeting up at the bar instead of, like, watching them talk to each other again.
What? You don't like them meeting at Jake's house?
I prefer them meeting at Jake's house than three sets of people being like, I'm so glad that we said yes today. I don't mind an awkward when they said no when you watch them packing. I can watch that. But this is like, well, whatever. So, that was it for the Decision Day episode. And next up is the reunion.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
All right. So in the reunion, one thing that was different right off the bat is that the experts actually traveled back to the city where they hosted, which makes all of the sense to me, I think. But now they travel to, what is it, California?
Yeah.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then now, you know, we just have Kevin in the wall just speaking to them because of COVID, but everybody else is in the group but not Kevin. The experts are acting like they have no idea. Do we buy the fact that they have no idea whether they're together or not?
I do not for one second.
I don't know. This is old school time. This might have actually been an actual surprise versus now. There's nothing in hell that would convince me that they don't know. But Dr. Pepper is saying that she hopes they're still together. I don't know if they actually mentioned it because I missed it if they did. But I had to do a Google search and the reunion was 6 months after.
They kept on saying sometime.
Yes.
Sometime. And I was like, how much time? And I'm actually really glad you looked it up because I was like, has it been 2 months? Especially with the knowledge that two of these couples are not together. So I'm like, how long did they wait?
Mm-hmm. It was 6 months after. So the format of how they did it was, first of all, Kevin is not around. There is no host. It is the experts who are, quote unquote, hosting this. So you can imagine it dragged. And the format is first the groom, then the bride, then them together, then eventually at the end we had everyone together. So Nate comes in first and they're asking him, why did you do this? Why did you do this journey? And I'm like, these are all the things you asked already. They ask a lot of questions recapping their journey. And then they ask them again what the highest point is. And Nate says, being able to come home and see normal life, food, comfort. Again, I want to ask, what is this equation to food to being a good wife? Okay. I do want to mention that in a bonus footage where they show Tyreek and Nate, they were just spoofing MTV Cribs around the house. And I don't know, he had water in the kitchen or something like that. And he makes a comment saying, this ain't no Flint water, which is where Tyree came from and where Nate is from, Detroit. And it just goes to show how long this ordeal has been for the people of Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, because we're still talking about Flint's water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Miss Flint, so, I think, is still in high school or something.
Yeah.
You just guys, wanted someone to mention needs to that. Fix the water.
So they ask him the challenges, and he's like, the level of respect and fighting fair. And if you missed it during AIDS recap, this has been their issue from the get-go. They just don't know how to fight fair. They both recognize that they need to fight fair, but I guess all bets are off out the door once they start fighting. So Sheila comes out, and her summary is like, you know, they both have a lot of growing up to do. Then they both come together, and they ask if you're still together. They're both together. And then they ask them how things have been going, and they say, like, they've had growing pains. And, you know, again, whenever they ask if they're married, they do this whole fake out setup. The music is just as dramatic. And then they're just like, oh, I'm still married. It's always like, eh. Especially now that we know what happens. So they both say, I love you to each other. And then they say the best part of it, of their marriage, is the gelling of their personalities. Nate is, well, again, I said, he's a showboater. He's very smooth with the words because he's like, you know, he always talks like he's a politician and is trying to, you know, get the crowd. Something he said was like, something that was brought together by prayer needs to be maintained by prayer. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So Sheila does tell us that they have moved to her townhome, and Rachel asks if she has had chocolate. For context, and for those who don't know, Sheila did share during the season that she'd never had an orgasm through intercourse, and that, and in some talk that they had, she referred to it as chocolate. And she confirms that she still has never had chocolate. So they laugh about it, and they ask for their hopes for their marriage, and she says their hopes is to have a family that represents God, and that they are testimony to that. And then Nate takes that all the way, saying, I want to be the couple that we can tell them we've been through this, look at how we are, because, again, he's a showboater. So, and then Sheila says the same thing, that she just wants to honor this, her commitment and her vow to God. And then they kiss again. Again, it's not a peck, even though there are other people in the room. It's like the whole devouring of mouths. I figure I'll just do an update with each couple because, like Aid mentioned, they are not together because not long after this, Sheila mentioned that Nate cheated on her.
Didn't she mention that he cheated on her basically the whole time?
Yes. Nate denies it and says it's not true. He said, she said, it wasn't this level of social media. If not, I would have been posted up just getting on there. I also just joined Instagram 2 years ago, so I wouldn't have known. But update is currently Nate is engaged to somebody else and Sheila is still single, to my knowledge. So that's update on them. We move on to Cody and Danielle. Because I haven't ragged on Cody enough, I'm just like, Cody's voice is not made for long-term listening. I just can't imagine listening to that voice.
I mean, if you want to go to sleep, it's perfect. If it's bedtime, you could totally roll with that.
It's such a lull. So he said the best part is that he feels comfortable around her and that they laugh all the time. Danielle says her best moments is that they're being silly and being fun, and their honeymoon was great. If they ask you the best part of your marriage and you're going way back to the beginning, okay, that's all we need to know. The honeymoon was great. They ask her if marriage is what she expected, and she says absolutely not, that there's a lot of work and dedication needed. They ask her the biggest challenge, and she said getting out the friend zone has been the biggest challenge. Everything about this marriage sounds like a disaster. So then they ask and if they have had sex, and honestly, I don't even think I remembered this, so I was just so shocked. They still haven't had sex, but they're still married.
It was terrible. I was like, especially now that I know that it was 6 months, what were they doing? They have no business being married. You've been married now for 8 months and you haven't had sex?
I just really want to understand what made her hang on. Like, what did she think was going to change? Like, at the very least, do what Haley did. Let's just get sex over and done with. Like, I might be pleasantly surprised that I would just want to stay married to you just for the dick. I don't know. Just something. But she says it still hasn't happened because she still doesn't feel in love yet. And I don't know. So all we see is that, you know, clearly she's not attracted to him or she doesn't like him. But Pastor Cal, positive Polly over there, is saying that you have the chance to be sexually and emotionally fulfilled. You just need to work on it. I really want to like Pastor Cal, but he does say a lot of dumb shit.
They should have said, you guys have been married for 8 months and you haven't had sex. Get divorced.
Oh my gosh. So that was that. And then Anthony comes in and Anthony says the best times were the honeymoon. Well, I guess I can't get on Danielle that much, and that they laugh a lot. Since the camera has been off, they've learned so much about each other. And when you live together, things mount up. Ashley comes in looking so dramatic. She had this huge scarf with like a black dress. And then it was like, okay. So they ask her challenge, and she said her biggest challenge is that his laid back nature bothers her. Honestly, I can relate to that. I'm not good with laid backness. I'm like Ashley in some situations. So they confirmed they're still married, their families get along. And then Rachel asks if they're pregnant. I don't even know why she asked that question. And then Anthony does a fake out and is like, oh, we might have something to tell you. Ashley says no, that she's not pregnant, but in the future, but not yet. And then Dr. Pepper says, you know, Ashley, when I look at you, there's a brightness and there's a happiness. And would you say that you're in love? And I'm like, didn't they say I love you already? Like, am I missing something?
Yeah, they said it in the decision day.
Decision day. Yeah. So I don't know. Dr. Pepper just had a moment right there. Just a fun fact. I don't know if it's a fun fact, but when I was looking for something, I did come across an article that reminded me someone was attacking Ashley for not being happy with her weight. And they said, I hate when skinny people say that they're fat. And Ashley mentions that she lost a lot of weight before the show. And she did mention it on the show. She lost 50 pounds. Wow. Before coming on the show. So it's something that she's insecure about. So it's like a la Rachel, kind of. But yeah, it reminded me of that when I saw that. And then they're all together. And the way it works is they have viewer questions like Bravo, except these questions suck. Like nothing about them was inspiring. But I do think that's something they need to bring back now because they need to film the reunion. After social media has its say, yes, we're mean, but, you know, out of that comes good questions and they can, you know, answer some of those things. So I think that's something they should bring back. They all agree that the documentation of the show, which I think is a general consensus among all seasons, that just, you know, being on camera is really hard. And I can imagine, Aid. I can imagine it's so hard just to get our, like, work schedules, life schedules, just to record. I can't imagine working, filming, having to have these forced conversations, interviews, asking me the same damn questions you can't have a bad day. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I think it's funny that the term they used for it throughout mm-hmm. the show was documentation. Whereas mm-hmm. now I think they just call it filming because that's what it is. But, you mm-hmm. know, they have experiment and they have documentation.
Yeah. They say, like, you know, having that lack of control was really hard. Rachel asked Danielle and Cody if they are growing in love, and they say yes. And guys, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to give you an update on each couple, but I just ran right by it. For Danielle and Cody, they're both still single. I couldn't find Cody. I'm sure he's online, but I couldn't find anything, but I haven't seen that he's married. Danielle is still single. Her dad recently passed away. We've mentioned in one of our social media recaps, and she moved from Chicago to Tennessee, actually.
Recently. I once went to Cody's Instagram. And he was a Trumper, so yeah, that's the only update I have.
That is what happened. I think we were followed.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got followed after that.
And then for Anthony and Ashley, honestly, if you watch Couples Cam, if you listen to us, I mean, they don't need updates. You know, they're doing fine. Anyways, so they ask, at what point did you notice that you weren't strangers? And, you know, Anthony said, when I first farted in front of her. So I thought that was funny. They also asked Danielle what the best thing has been with Cody, and she said with the dogs. So, you know, Cody and Danielle, they filed for divorce afterwards, and I'm like, just like, what took so long? Because this was so painful. But towards the end, before they congratulate everyone, because at this point they're all still 3 for 3. It's like I described this reunion as all of us in 2019 not knowing what 2020 was gonna bring us. So they didn't know that after this reunion, like, shit was gonna hit the fan. But they asked Danielle and Cody about Charlie and Angie. And for those who don't know, Charlie and Angie are Cody's brother was dating Danielle's friend. So part of the running thing, while they kept, you know, Cody kept complaining that he wasn't having sex, was just like they were progressing faster than they were.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned this, because at one point he says that they are going very slow. And I was like, compared to who? You don't know any of the other couples. But I guess he probably meant compared to my friend who met your friend at the wedding.
Yeah. I think they eventually broke up. I'm not sure. I think so. But yeah, at the time, it was just like, well, I mean, they're progressing. They were. That was like poor Cody. Like, it's just a reminder everywhere. But yeah, they met at the wedding. And actually, I think we need to have more of those and then make a spinoff of that. That I will watch. Who's hooking up? You know, I think there's a stat that came out saying, like, a lot of people find, like, hookups, one night stand at weddings. So that would be interesting. But yeah, that was all the reunion. And like we said earlier, it was just it was an interesting watch going back in time and doing the comparisons.
I think part of you said interesting, and it was interesting, but part of it was boring. And I think part of the boredom is what I said before, which is that this is probably the best people to ever get married at first sight. I mean, they were truly committed. They were committed from the beginning. They were committed on decision day. They all lasted for 6 months after decision day. Although now, after what you told me, I'm like, did Cody and Danielle basically be like, you know what, we'll break up after the reunion? They just agree. But they were pretty normal, well-adjusted people who really tried. I mean, they basically gave the experiment 8 months.
But here's my question. Is this, you know, how I always say, I don't want the couples to meet each other because then they compare. Would this still be our thought process if we didn't have what we now know as maps to compare it to? I think that's part of the problem. At least for me, all of what I was doing was comparing it to now. Like, if I didn't know any better, I'll just be like, this is what maps is and I'm used to it. So could be that. Maybe.
Maybe. There was just, the show in some ways was so boring because these people had no drama. Nothing. Nate and Sheila being kind of the exception. But even then, you know, we've seen a lot over these past few years.
Yeah. Imagine if we watched, let's say, the last few seasons first, and then we watched this. Do you think we'd be complaining that, okay, the one we watch now is like 2 hours or 3 hours premiere, but this is just an hour? Wouldn't you be like, see, it's just an hour. We could do that. You know, who knows? Hindsight is 2020.
No, I cannot imagine complaining that a show is too short. 90 Day Fiancé is 2 hours too. And that's why it takes me till Wednesday to watch it. I'm like, when do I have 2 hours to sit down and watch 90 Day Fiancé?
And then 90 Day Fiancé has become ear TV. It can just play in the background. Like, I can tell. The only thing is now they're getting a lot more foreign people who need captions or translations at the bottom. So then I don't know what's being said. So then I have to pay attention to read.
A couple of people were like, did you watch Love is Blind Brazil? And then I turned it on and I was like, I'm too lazy to watch this. You have to watch the TV the whole time and read all the words.
Yeah, that is right. I heard that was good and I really wanted to. And this is coming from the person who watched The Circle. And I watched The Circle US, I watched The Circle Brazil, and I watched The Circle France.
Wow. And,
listen, guys, when I say this is an addiction, I'm not joking. Speaking of, Married at First Sight Australia is coming back next week. Woo woo.
I'm glad someone's happy to see them.
I hear there's another cheating scandal. I can't.
There's always a cheating scandal.
I can't. Honestly, I think I'm okay with that happening in the US.
I'm not like a good cheating scandal opposed to like what's not, like
Not gonna lie. Yep. You're gonna take that risk and have them meet each other. I'm gonna need something to happen. But I want it to happen just once. I don't want it again. And I'm just curious to see how they're gonna handle it, because it's just the US culture is like so different that I'm curious to see how it plays out here. Because the thing with the Brits and the Australians, they're all like, oh, it's so mean. And then the next day they're like, you know, I want you to be happy. Fuck that. In the US, no, I don't want you to be happy. So I'm curious to see how it will be handled. And I'm curious to see how these experts, I think that is what is going to drive Dr. Pepper out.
Would they have cheating scandals that are encouraged by production?
Yes.
She'd be like, no, man, this is not what I signed up for. Goodbye.
Bye. So, yeah. But anyways, this was fun, Aid.
It was fun. I don't want to make any promises to the people, but we might do it again. If you have a preference as to which season we should do it for, let us know.
Yes, let us know. All right, Aid. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.